I meant to light a candle this morning, celebrating yesterday's Pride Parade, and the week of Pride celebrations, actually, for the whole week, and to make sure you knew that although it may not have been his primary social justice issue, I think Theodore Parker does join us in supporting the parade, and if he were here, no doubt he would have been there among everyone yesterday. O source of the turning seasons, may your people find a lightening of the burdens with the brightening of the sky. I was thinking recently that life at the edge of summer is like the thin place we heard about earlier, full of mystery and not altogether solid, the place where our certainties feel as light as whispers sometimes. Maybe you know a magical place like this, a spot in the mountains that you love to visit or by the sea. Maybe near a window in your home where inspiration finds you, or maybe in the quiet of your church pew. When we were talking about this week's topic, Michael suggested the offertory, which we just heard, which was a phrase from a William Wordsworth poem that he set to music. We didn't know at the time that Tintern Abbey, which is the title of the poem by Wordsworth, which is where he was visiting when he wrote the poem, was actually the same place that John Crossley Morgan was visiting when he wrote of the thin places in this morning's reading. So when I discovered it, I thought, oh, this synchronicity, it must be quite something there. Though clearly it's not the only place that that essence might be experienced. And it's not that there is no grounding in the thin places. It's more that our sureness may seem somehow translucent as the world becomes new to us again. The light somehow sifts through our certainties more easily, perhaps. The words from the offertory, and I have felt a presence that disturbs me with the joy of elevated thoughts, a sense sublime of something far more deeply interfused, whose dwelling is the light of setting suns, and the round ocean, and the living air, and the blue sky, and in the mind of man, a motion and a spirit that impels all living things, all objects of all thought, and rolls through all things. Like life at the edge of summer, maybe, which is still where we are, the ascending time, right? The time of brightening. And even though what we might remember at the end of summer are the evenings and how long they lasted, in fact, once next Sunday comes, the light begins shrinking again. The fullness of summer arrives, and the light begins to fade, which means that now, this week, today, we are on that edge. We are at life at the edge of summer, the front edge, still a growing light of potential and promise, a magic and possibly thin place where every flower offers a new and various gift, just as each of us do. The thin place, the time of opportunity, of possibility, of connection. Norbert Chapek, who we heard about earlier, whose flower service we celebrate today, was born a Catholic in Bohemia in 1870. By the age of 18, he left Catholicism for the Baptist tradition, but worked for religious freedom even within his fairly structured homeland at the time. He found his way to the United States just prior to World War I when he was under suspicion by the Austrian government for his outspokenness. At the end of World War I, Czechoslovakia became independent and many were leaving the Catholic Church. Chapek wanted to return home to be a part of what he knew would be a spiritual awakening. According to the Harvard Square Library, he and his wife, Maya, decided in 1920 to sell their Belleville home to get money for the voyage. Because of a delay in the buyer's payment, they found it necessary to vacate the house and rent an apartment in East Orange. While living there, they encouraged their three school-aged children to try out various church Sunday schools and report back to their parents on their lessons. Interesting way to find a tradition. The one they finally found that pleased them was the First Unitarian Church of Essex County in Orange. After the children had attended several times, Norba and Maya also visited the church and found there, quote, not only clear heads, but warm hearts too. They signed the membership book on January 10, 1921. The minister, Dr. Walter Reed Hunt, learning of Čapek's intent to return to Czechoslovakia, arranged for him to meet the president of the American Unitarian Association, Dr. Samuel Elliott. By May, Čapek had a commitment from the AUA to support his work in Czechoslovakia. He bid farewell to the church in Orange on June 5th, and he and Maya and their children embarked for Europe on June 30th. When I was reading about this and remembering it, I wondered if the Čapeks had experienced a thin place. And where might that have been? Where did they sit together and think, we have to go back and be a part of this amazing awakening? I wonder if we sitting here can even imagine. Honey, get the kids. We're moving back to Czechoslovakia. Do you have a plan? No. We're going to help start the religious awakening. Do you have a church? No. Well, not yet. Oh, and did I tell you it might be a little dangerous? Kids, has Dad told you we're moving? Imagine a religious commitment like that. Talk about life at the edge, full of potential, full of risk. By February 1922, Čapek had organized the Prague Congregation of Liberal Religious Fellowship, and the services were soon drawing standing room only crowds. On June 24th, 1923, the first flower service was celebrated. Maya was ordained as a minister in 1926. For several years, the fellowship met in rented halls with financial help from the AUA and the British and Foreign Unitarian Association. They acquired and renovated a medieval palace. In 1930, the Unitarian Church of Czechoslovakia was officially recognized by the Czech government. 11 years later, Čapek and his daughter were arrested by the Gestapo, and within a year or so, he died, likely of gas poisoning, in Dachau. Subscribing to no theological system, Norbert Čapek celebrated the hidden cry for harmony with the infinite in every soul. Every person, he wrote, is an embodiment of God, and in every one of us, God struggles for higher expression. For these thoughts, he died, and we are left with a celebration to serve as a reminder that life at the edge, in what we might think of as a thin place, where a presence disturbs me with the joy of elevated thoughts, might also be a risky place. Čapek's life and death story remind us not to be too casual about this gathering and distribution of beautiful flowers. This service must serve as a reminder of what our liberal tradition calls us to be in the world. Risk takers, edge livers, challengers of certainty. In effect, this service should remind us that while we celebrate our individual beauty as one whole, as all flowers together make one beautiful bouquet, we must be inspired to, compelled by the experience of the thin place, to work in the world to make it truly so. There's an expression that James Luther Adams, who was a 20th century Unitarian minister, teacher and theologian, offered us what he called cheap grace. Cheap grace, he would have us know, is, and his words are, the sin of religion that offers spiritual comfort without the call to make some sacrifices. It's not enough, Adams would have us understand, to only be comforted in our spiritual lives without pushing ourselves to ever more open and new ways of being in the world. Our challenge is to discern for ourselves as individuals and ourselves as congregations of liberal religious people just what those new sacrifices, those risky edges might be. How is it we become bold enough to experience the thin places and move through them with new inspiration? So I've been playing this morning with the juxtaposition of thin places and risky edges, both places where we may be most awake, where we are given the chance to understand ourselves, to recognize our own limits, our own edges, and ultimately, at least possibly, to call forth the courage to stretch those edges and reach for the places of greater connection. We don't grow if we don't risk. And even if or when our efforts at risking fall short of what we might have imagined, we learn from that discomfort, which is always a good thing. Chapek was clearly a risk taker who spoke free truth to institutional power. Religion, he said, can never die because human beings cannot but be religious regardless of the form of their religion. The church's task, he felt, must be to place truth above any tradition, spirit above any scripture, freedom above authority, and progress above all reaction. Life at the edge, he suggests, truth above tradition, spirit above scripture, freedom above authority, progress above reaction. The flowers that we share today are but symbols of these challenges, symbols of the diversity of thought and belief that Chapek believed represented the best of our gathering, of religious gathering. When you choose the flower you want to take with you today after this sermon, keep in mind the gift of free faith that it symbolizes, and keep in mind the challenge that it symbolizes as well. To recognize the thin places, what John Morgan describes as the sacred spots, where you may feel a presence so deep and mysterious that you have to stretch language to describe them. And be reminded of the risky places where growth, like summer flowers, happens best. I was walking yesterday listening to a podcast of Krista Tippett on being. Wisdom to many of us, I'm sure. Yesterday, she was speaking to Sister Simone Campbell, who has certainly done her part of risk-taking and challenge and visiting of the thin places. She was one of the people who began Nuns on the Bus. You don't have to do everything, she assured us. You just have to do your part. The question is always then, what is my part? This is life at the edge, and the edge of summer that we are offered to grow into together. As the light captures our imagination, let it also capture our willingness to discern ourselves, to be bold in new ways, to grow new and ever more open hearts. Our souls as individuals, our souls as a community, so that we are leaving the world a better place for our having had the gift to be here at all. O source of the turning seasons, may your people find a lightening of the burdens with the brightening of the sky. So may it be.